This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day, you know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always, you know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in, you know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up?
Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearingly stuttering host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt. Sorry we had to start a few minutes late. I had went to Outback and had one of the worst waitress experiences I've ever had.
Oh. But did you have a Bloomin' Onion?
I did. And have you noticed that the Bloomin' Onion has gotten smaller over the years?
I'm not a regular. Yeah, okay, I'll take your word for it.
I'll take your word.
Has the steak gotten smaller too?
I don't know. I take Emma and I go to Outback for dinner sometimes. She likes Outback a lot. And we just get the Bloomin' Onion and fries as our meal.
Yeah.
So that's what we did tonight. Did some shopping, went to Outback. And here's my problem with the Outback. When you give the waitress, the waitress was slow the whole night, but when you give the waitress your credit card to pay, you expect them to go swipe the card and bring it right back to you because they've got your credit card.
Yeah.
She took the credit card. She then went and waited at other tables and took their orders while holding onto my credit card, then went and swiped my credit card, then waited on other tables. Then a table stopped her and said, hey, I'd like to check in a box. And she said, oh, well, here, take this box. I'll get another one, which was my box that she was bringing to me. At which point she then went back to get their check for them and get another box, take their check to them, and then eventually made it back to me. 12 minutes in the time from swiping credit card to get me my credit card back.
Mm. I went to a local Mexican restaurant today. And they had a little thing.
Why is it about race for you?
She has the thing, a credit card machine on her little thing. So she did it right at the table.
Yeah, that's the nice modern restaurants. That's how the mom and pops go. That's a much nicer way to do it. So I was late to the podcast because I was sitting there waiting for my credit card back. In fact, I asked Emma at one point, hey, do you want to just leave now? And I'll just tell the bank that my credit card got stolen. And I'll just have them mail me a new credit card.
Yeah, 12 minutes is a long way. Time to wait.
Well, especially when it's your credit card.
Waiting for food. You've done everything. You've eaten your food. You're ready to go home.
And what's she doing? Is she back there like ordering Amazon? What's she doing with my credit card for 12 minutes?
There's probably 20 copies of your credit card somewhere.
Exactly. I think you can make a lot more in 12 minutes than 20. But yeah.
But Josh, thanks for starting the show like that on that note. We got a ton to get to.
I mean, you want to talk about the fact that the Orioles went 4-4 on a tough road trip?
Yeah, we can talk about that. We can talk about the Boston series. We can talk about, Adley Rutschman. But first, Josh, let me get your takes on the Johnny Depp, Amber. Emily, I came Amber home. I came home today and Emily said, can you believe that Johnny Depp got $15 million? And I was like, Emily, he got $15 million from whom? I have no idea what you're talking about.
And he should have gotten a whole lot more.
And then she just rolled her eyes at me like I'm an idiot.
She pooped in his bed. That should be worth a whole lot more than $15 million.
No way. No way. You poop in someone's bed, $100 tops.
Is this from experience? That's what you've had to pay people?
Cleaning fees, $100.
No, that's a cleaning fee in an Uber. It's like $200.
Yeah. I don't know. Everything. Don't even get me started with money trying to move. Everything's crazy. Money's crazy.
So
everything costs more. Everything costs too much.
I know. I know. You're in the midst of moving. I know you had people coming to look to rent your house out today and all that.
Yeah, so that was successful. Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. Yep. Like that you have a renter that fast.
Well, it's not official, but we have multiple applicants and multiple people who want to pursue.
Awesome.
It's good.
That's cool. Are you doing up at all yourself, or are you going through a company?
Yeah, we got a company. I told him.
Good.
Because we'll be in a different state. Because I told the guy, man, his name's Marco. Great guy, Marco, at Annapolis Properties.
Okay.
I was like, Marco, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, that's what you want.
I want you to handle everything, all right? I don't want you to even call me when something goes wrong. Just do it.
Fix it. I don't even know if we've talked on here yet that you're moving. But yeah. You do not want to go be in another state and at 2 in the morning getting calls because, like, a dishwasher's not working.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a leak somewhere. Yeah, I said, yeah. So, yeah, we have another company who's handling it, and it's just, yeah. So I think it's going to work out real nicely.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm moving to Macon, Georgia. One of these days we're going to do a podcast about being an O's fan in a different state, because that is the one thing that really depresses me about moving. It's not about leaving my job or my friends or family. It's just about leaving the Orioles is the thing that really depresses me about moving. And my son, we're taking as many games as possible because, you know, I worry about raising my son in enemy territory
right. And
that whole thing.
We're going to – I was looking at the calendar today. The end of June, I'm in Baltimore for a little bit, or in Maryland for just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like just a couple of days. And I was thinking we should do a little show then in person because it will be real close to you leaving.
Yeah,
we're gonna do the stadium tour of Camden, so we can talk about that, and then also talk about leaving this area.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Since you're moving to Macon, I guess we're gonna become a Savannah Bananas podcast, which I've been pushing for years. If you remember,
yeah. I mean, I've seen Savannah Bananas, you know, videos on Twitter. I'll try to get the game out there. That should be fun.
Yeah, we'll meet up that sometime. But 336 isn't going anywhere.
No.
This podcast is what's going to link us to the Orioles.
Hey, are we live on Facebook and stuff with the?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if anyone's on there, but we are on Facebook.
Okay, I don't. One of the things that Emily has tasked me with, Josh, and we don't need to get us on the show, but I got a whole bin of like clothes and stuff that Emily wants me to kind of go through and get rid of. But they're all like nostalgia. Like this is my Little League All Star jersey.
Why
like, can
you
I
have
throw
a...
my Little League All Star jersey away?
How old are you,
Josh?
You're what, 38 years old? How old are you?
What?
All right, the Deion Sanders Cowboys jersey, I'm cool with.
Ever football jersey.
Okay, that's great.
Deion Sanders Cowboys, before the Ravens even existed.
How old are you?
38.
You're 38 and you still have your Little League jersey.
Yeah. Is that weird?
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
What about a high school letter jacket? Do you keep the letter jacket? High school letter jacket, or is that something you get rid of?
That's a little less weird, but I don't know. What are you going to do with that Little League Broadneck jersey? Pass it down to Silas?
Josh, I have another Broadneck Little League jersey and another Broadneck Little League jersey.
The maroon one is your church softball jersey. Hey, go back to that maroon one.
Oh, the maroon. Oh, yeah.
That's softball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is my softball jersey.
Yeah.
I forgot that thing.
Yeah,
existed.
I tossed mine.
You did?
Yeah, I don't need a memory of that softball team.
All right.
I also tossed my Bay Green or something. I tossed that one as well. So, is this podcast?
Right, well, I got my penny from high school, my basketball penny, reversible penny from high school. I got to go through. Emily wants me to get rid
of
it all.
How do you have all this stuff? Your house, before the house you're in now, you had an even smaller house.
I know. It's just, Josh, it's just a big bin, just one bin. And it's just been in that bin. Josh,
then,
I also
you know
got
what
about
I would tell
25
Emily
Meg Ryan movie posters that Emily's itching for me to get rid of, and I'm not afraid.
I would tell Emily it's all one bin. It's one bin. It was one bin that moved from Queenstown. It was one bin here. It's one bin going down south.
Yeah, just one bin.
It's just one bin.
Yeah. I also got all these, like, Oriole bobbleheads. I don't want to get rid of them.
Well,
but like a Sammy Sosa bobblehead, a Miguel Tejada bobblehead. Do I need these bobbleheads in my life?
I have both of them.
Maybe I'll see if you want any of the ones I have.
Send me any bobbleheads because I can definitely use bobbleheads. I'm going to, in fact, put a new shelf up down here just for expand my bobbleheads a little bit. So I'm definitely down for that. But
I found my old signed Ravens helmet signed by Jermaine Lewis that I got. Kind of right when they won the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
First Super Bowl.
That's worth keeping. Don't get rid of that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my life now going through stuff.
So this podcast is now going to be all about you moving? Is that what you're telling us?
This is just weekly updates on my moving.
Okay.
What have I given away? What have I kept?
Right.
No, Judge, but let's get into it. I mean, it was kind of an up and down week. Huh?
Where do you want to start with this? It was a weird week for Orioles baseball.
Yeah, I know this. Like, let's. I know you lose 10-0, win 10-0, lose 10-0. Tonight, at least, not going to be a 10-0 game. But let's start with the Boston series. On Friday, I was listening to the Bustroni podcast, and he was talking about how hot Boston was.
Right.
And he's like, they're just under 500, and after a weekend, a 5-game series with the Orioles, they'll be 500 come Monday. And of course, Bustroni was wrong.
No surprise.
Red Sox are not 500 because we took 3 out of 5. And so, I don't know. I left that Boston series feeling really good. I think to end the series with a 10-0 win where Tyler Wells pitched really well had me feeling really good about the Orioles. Yeah. Of course, then we laid an egg in yesterday's game.
But yesterday's game, with the first game with the Mariners, didn't it feel like we weren't even trying? Like, we put Billy Baker out there to start the game?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and Brian Baker and his backup is Zach Lothar.
Brian Baker, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. I wasn't going to even correct you. I was just going to correct you without correcting you. But and then Zach Lothar to back him up, who hasn't pitched well in AAA. Good for him for eating some innings. And we got to see our first position player pitch. That's fun with Chris Owens.
Right, that's always good.
Yeah. Josh, I don't understand why when position players pitch, I understand injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
But why are they throwing 50 miles per hour when you know all these guys can hit 70 and 80 miles per hour?
Because, I don't know. Because they can't hit 70 miles an hour straight. Like, they can't get a strike at 70 miles an hour.
What? Austin Hayes can throw from the outfield 95 miles per hour and then hit the catcher, but these guys can't. Yes. Like, Chris Owens can throw a 75 mile per hour fastball and hit first base in the chest.
Okay, yes.
And he can't throw a strike.
But have you ever seen a pitcher try to pick up a little grounder and throw it to first base? It never goes well.
Yeah,
the best case for a pitcher is to toss underhand, because once you're the mechanics of pitching off a mound down, remember that you're pitching off a mound down, and then I think it's also injuries, like you were saying. Not the injury of Chris Owens getting hurt, but you don't want to be the guy that hits someone in the head.
Yeah,
because with pitching,
it's all weird to me. These great athletes who I know can throw well, hard in the infield, all of a sudden can't throw. No, all of a sudden act like my son when they're pitching.
Pitching has to get into a 2-foot box. When you're throwing to a first baseman,
not that hard.
When you're throwing to a baseman, you just have to get within arm's reach.
Okay, Josh. No, these professional baseball players can throw in a 2-foot box. D.L. Hall really can't, but most of these professional players can throw in a 2-foot box.
You're asking Chris Owens to do what Brian Baker could not do.
Yeah, no, Josh, I'm now becoming angry. I didn't want this conversation. I was just kind of throwing a question out there. Now I'm becoming angry because you're making this argument that a professional baseball player can't throw a strike. And I think that's stupid. They can throw a strike.
I don't know. Maybe
I could throw a strike.
Maybe it's like
I could go up there and throw strikes.
I don't know. I don't know if you could throw. You could not throw strikes.
I could throw strikes.
You could not throw strikes off a major.
I couldn't
hit
the ball out of the infield, but I could throw strikes.
I don't think they
would crush it, and it would be at like 65 miles per hour. But I could throw harder strikes than Chris Owens.
If you could throw strikes, why are there so many ugly first pitches in baseball? Like celebrity first pitches.
Because they have non-athletes go out there and throw them.
Get ready for Twitter to blow up, because Trey Mancini just hit a ball that should have been a home run, but it hit the very top of the new wall.
Oh, yeah. Judge, what's your thoughts on... So I think overall, we're feeling good about the Orioles, right? Overall, we're feeling pretty good about the Orioles.
Oh, yeah. I started the show with this. I'm feeling great about the season. I mean, 4-4 on that team.
Yeah.
And we already talked about how, like, this road trip was, like, the worst of the end of the bad time. And, like, June is awesome for the Orioles.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we play teams who are bad. Yeah. And, I mean, for me, I go, like, back and forth. Like, I see Tyler Wells pitch, and I'm like, you know, this team could get to 500 by the end of June. And then you watch Zimmerman pitch or what happened yesterday. And you're like, I don't know. Because I think the question with this team is going to be starting pitching.
Yes.
Is Bruce Zimmerman good? Can Tyler Wells go deep enough into games? Because I mean, our bullpen has been asked to do a lot, and they've done well, but they've been asked to do a lot because their starting pitching, especially recently, hasn't gone very deep into games. And you worry about, you know, now with the Watkins injury, it seems like every fifth day we're scrambling to find someone who can just throw to be that guy. And I don't know how long you can duct tape this thing. And so for me, the key is this, the starting pitching.
It is.
How is that going to hold up?
It is, because we're finally starting to hit the ball.
Yep. Yep. And
I think it's been very weird, because besides that 10-0 loss in Boston, this team is, we've talked about it before, they're in every game. And you feel like they have a chance in every single game.
Well, one of the reasons is because your bullpen's so great that, you know, when you get to those middle innings and later innings, the score is going to be pretty close to what it is, at least on the other side. So they're not going to, you know, pile on against our bullpen. Our bullpen's going to hold them there, and there's just a question about our offense can catch up. But it's been nice, like tonight, to get jump out to the lead. I think it changes things, because then, you know, you're just asking your starter. I mean, we're not asking our starters to do much. I mean, if you can get to the sixth inning with two or three runs, our bullpen will take it from there. Yeah. And I think our offense can get that job done too.
And I think seeing Bradish come out tonight and pitch well is after important the bad start. After getting knocked around with Boston. Where Boston, he came into a really hot team. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like I wonder about Bradish. Can he be consistent enough? I wonder about Zimmerman. Zimmerman gave up like 4 or 5 home runs the other night. He's been struggling lately. Yeah. He got to a great start, been struggling lately. I don't know. I have a little confidence in Jordan Lyles, but not a ton. But like any given night, it won't surprise me if a pitcher really struggles or if he pitches well. I think they're just a little bit too inconsistent.
Well, that's why we had a 10-0 win in Boston followed by a 10-0 loss in Baltimore.
Exactly. And that's why my feelings are going to go up and down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room. Speaking of starting pitching, Grayson Rodriguez, right before we came on air, I was following it on my MILB app, and I saw 5 2/3 innings for Grayson. I was like, that can't, something's wrong, because he was at 60 pitches, 5 2/3 innings, and he was pulled. And then I went to Twitter, and they said he was pulled because of an injury.
Because his fastball.
We don't know the details.
No, but they were saying his fastball dropped to 89, and that caused the trainer and the manager to run out.
Right, and it could be a million things, from, you know, just heat and cramping to, you know, whatever. It could be anything.
And not even going to say the bad things out there. We're going to keep it simple.
Yeah, so I assume it was a little bit of heat cramping. In his left toe due to the heat. He's going to get some Gatorade and hopefully he's fine.
I'm going
to
go with COVID. Okay. Test came out in the middle of the game and they said, oh crap, we got to get him off the field.
Yeah, and that hurts the velocity too, because he was already feeling the symptoms.
And they said, oh, let's go out there and get as many people as we can around him to tell him the bad news.
Yeah. So, and have a long conversation about it.
Exactly.
So it was all setting up to, like, at that point, he had pitched fantastically well. He's pitched amazing in his past, you know, 4 or 5 starts.
Yeah.
It was all setting up for him to make one more start in the minors, and then it made sense his next start to be the majors.
Yeah.
But that throws all of this into question. Yeah. Even if it's not serious, you would imagine this will not now be his last start. Triple.
Nope.
You would imagine there'll be at least one more.
Yeah.
Depending on how serious it is, maybe, you know, who knows?
Yeah. What do you think, Mike? What do you think Elias did them to make sure to, hey, we got to knock him down. I'm not ready for him in the majors yet.
Yeah, like they did with Adley at the beginning of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was, I mean, it's a shame too, because we have an open roster spot, you know, with the Watkins injury. We have an open pitching spot. And
we got a June schedule. That would be great to have him up here.
Yeah, and a chance for him. He had to get his feet wet against some weaker competition.
Yep, it made too much sense.
It all added up perfectly. So it's a shame. It makes me sad. And if all of a sudden now no one cares about the Orioles game because Grayson is hurt, and hopefully it's not serious. Hopefully Grayson Rodriguez is back in his next start and he doesn't miss a beat. But this is just something you don't want to see happen with your top prospect, right?
It's it's bad news. It's frustrating. And that the frustrating thing is it gives in to the haters. You got all the haters that then come out. See, you should have been in the majors by now. You get it. I'm so we've talked about this before. I'm tired of the Oriole haters. the Oriole fans who like to hate on Mike Elias and hate on the process and the plan.
Yeah. I too am tired of the people shouting, call him up.
Yeah.
Like, we got Adley. I'm content because I have Adley to watch every day. And then when he doesn't play, I'll just do a podcast if he's not playing in the game.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not like he'll be called up. I have every confidence in Elias to call him up. If this was August or something and he's not called up still, like I'd be screaming. But like, no, I'm cool. He's still building up his pitches. They've been clear that they're not going to use the major league time to build up pitches. They're going to use it in the minors with these prospects. They're going to make sure they're fully ready. And I'm cool with it. And I'm not going to scream and because it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. If he started today or if he starts next week, it's not a big deal. Either way, at some point he's going to start. And I'm hopefully at this point with the injury, at some point he'll start soon.
Yeah,
and I'm fine with it.
And you don't want to bring him up too early. We don't want to make the same mistake we made with Adley Rutschman and bringing him up when he's completely unmatched.
Oh, he's overmatched.
Overmatched.
So you have not been pleased with the performance of Adley Rutschman?
No, I've been very impressed with Adley Rutschman. Yeah. I know he's got a 185 batting average. He takes more pitches than anyone else on this team.
Yeah.
He's got a great eye at the plate. He just hasn't made contact yet. He's just getting situated. He's going from starting in Camden to then Yankee Stadium and Boston. He's going against great teams in stadiums that where the players could suck and you're still going to be in all of the stadium. So it's like historic stadiums. Like, no, he's been up here a week. He was not benched tonight because he's been struggling. He was benched tonight because he's played in every game.
Yeah.
So good news, real quick, before we get into Adley. Good news from the Baltimore Sun saying that Grayson Rodriguez felt what appeared to be a cramp. Nothing serious.
I caught it.
You caught it. So that's good news. And a little bit more. It still probably means one more start in the minors. But it means if he can stay off the IL, that's a whole lot better. But Adley, you don't buy into this Twitter hate that he wasn't ready or he's a bust already, right?
Yeah, but Josh, this conversation is so obnoxious to me.
It's ridiculous.
And it just makes me laugh. But it's Dan Connolly, Josh, but here's the whole conversation. This is where it all started from. I'm telling you right now, this conversation that Adley Rutschman's overmatched is not only a ridiculous conversation, it's a made-up conversation. There's not really a conversation being happened about here.
Oh, no.
There
is on Facebook. I've seen it on Facebook.
Okay, but here's what happened with Dan Connolly. Dan Connolly tweeted yesterday. He said, there's a debate on my feed now as to whether Adley Rutschman is overmatched and needs to be sent down to the minors for more time.
Right.
And then he's also like saying, oh, I'm too old for this. And then I went back to see what the debate was. And it was Dan Connolly was tweeting that, because Adley Rutschman struck out or something. And one guy with 24 followers said that he's overmatched. And then that tweet has one like and 23 quote tweets. And every single of the 23 quote tweets is saying this guy's an idiot. Every comment is saying this guy's an idiot. The debate is one guy making a tweet and everybody else calling him an idiot. So I don't know if with one guy tweets something, if that becomes all of a sudden a lot of people are saying Adley Rutschman's overmatched. And then everyone and their mother comes out saying, I can't believe people are saying Adley Rutschman's overmatched. It was one guy on Twitter, one knucklehead on Twitter who said it, and then a million people have to respond. It's just annoying. I think it's a made-up thing that people think Adley Rutschman's overmatched. There's one or two knuckleheads who think it, and no one else does. 99.9%. If I took a poll on Twitter right now, is Adley Rutschman overmatched? I guarantee 100%, or at worst 99%, would say Adley Rutschman is not overmatched. Just give him time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is very similar to the debate we had last week, the stupid debate of Adley Rutschman stealing Mike Mussina's number.
Yes.
Which was, again, a stupid argument that didn't have anything.
And that response was more after it was made up by Buster, and it was more comment against Buster than it was about the debate initially anyway.
Right. Every article then was written about how Buster was crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the whole premise, yeah. Just so it's dumb. But to me, Josh, I have my man crush of Adley grows every single day. I just love watching him play. I love his attitude. I love his enthusiasm. I love him running into the pitcher. I
the
love
way,
him
the way he runs to the pitcher at the end of every inning is awesome, and it pumps you up.
Yeah.
If I was a pitcher, I would love that. I would want to throw to Adley.
Yeah. I love his approach at the plate. He does not seem, in fact, he seems just in control. Even like when he strikes out or when he struggles, he doesn't have that look on his face like he's frustrated or confused. He's got that look, just kind of, he still feels like he's confident. He just got that confidence air to him, even when he's struggling. And you just know it's gonna click. I mean, even in yesterday's game, the highlight for me of yesterday's game with the 10-0 loss was Adley crushed a ball that went foul. It would have been, home run, but it went foul.
And I think that was the same plate appearance where he took the most pitches like of the game that anyone had taken on that pitcher.
Yeah, I think you're right. So he's and this is true, Josh, and I've heard Matt Blood talk about this, I think back on The Verge, maybe last year, two years ago. Player development guy for the Orioles, saying, watch it. At every time they jump up a league, the first month they struggle, and then they figure it out and they get better. And you see it happen. Like when a guy goes from single A to double A or double A, triple A, you just have a month of struggling. You saw it this year with Bobby Witt Jr. and Julio Rodriguez, two of the best rookies in baseball.
Right.
The first month of the season, they were really bad.
But what's interesting
you can make adjustments.
What's interesting is with Adley is he's not swinging at bad pitches. The adjustment that he's working on is a timing issue.
Yeah.
And he's not, it's like the bad pitches, because he's taking balls, he's getting walks. The bad pitches, he's letting go by. It's coming down to timing. So I have all the confidence in the world that it's going to click by mid, end of June, and we're going to see this great start from Adley.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt he's going to go on a streak and going to get hot. Yeah, I have no doubt either. So I still feel really good about Adley with the Orioles. And yeah, I'm still, in fact, just watching him play every day, my respect for him and my enjoyment of him has actually grown, even though he hasn't started hitting. Just imagine when he starts hitting how much more I love him. But yeah, I'm all on board in the Adley Rutschman train.
I mean,
so does a cramp, Josh, prevent Grace Rodriguez from making his next start in Baltimore? Does he have to have another start now if it's just a cramp?
That's what I was just trying to think. It's a back cramp. So it's nothing with his arm.
Right.
So I don't.
A back cramp is weird. Usually you kind of get leg cramps.
Yeah, it's a back cramp.
I assume it's heat related, right? Hydration, heat related.
Yeah, they're playing.
Hot out there.
They're in Norfolk tonight. So I don't know
hot.
The weather. Right? They better be in Norfolk because I'm going to be irritated if they're in Jacksonville. Because I saw they're playing the Jumbo Shrimps. And I'm going to be irritated if I missed the game and I could have went and saw Grayson.
Yes,
today.
Yes. Because I have a friend going this weekend. Yeah, so they must be at Norfolk.
It's in Norfolk. All right, good.
Yeah. But so, yeah, it's hot. I mean, it was 95 today. So it might even be hotter down there in Norfolk. It's just a hot day. Humid. So, yeah, hopefully it's just that.
Yeah.
But I don't know because he only threw 60 some pitches today. So do they want to see him throw 90 before he comes to Baltimore? I think this might mean one or two more starts at Norfolk.
They've been saying that, but he wanted, but he did hit 86 last outing.
He did. Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, let's see if he pitched today, what would the calendar look like for the Orioles calendar? Hold on. Let me pull it down. So you're talking 5-6 days from now.
Yeah, and
I mean the Cubs come to town next Tuesday.
Right, and that 7th? Next Tuesday would be the ideal time. That's when I was thinking head, planning getting tickets if that's the day.
I mean that's where you get him on normal rest.
Yeah,
you get him on normal rest.
If it's not then, it's going to be an away game. If it's the next start. Because we go to Kansas City, then Toronto.
Because if it's not there, then you're looking one. Well, no, it could also be the Tampa series in Baltimore, where the Orioles are home for a quick series against Tampa the 17th, 18th, 19th of June.
Yeah, but that's...
That'd be a normal rest.
On his third start from now.
Yes.
That would be two more Norfolk starts.
Yeah. But I think that Cubs game is the game I would circle and mark. Now, I'm not going to be like these internet people and get mad if he doesn't pitch that day. I'm not going to go out and buy tickets. I'm not flying up. I want to fly up, but I'm not going to fly up on Tuesday to see Grayson pitch.
Yeah. But it does feel just like at Adley. It was never a question of was he major league ready. It was just like they wanted him to catch three straight games. Like that was the benchmark they were waiting for. Catch three straight games, then we'll send you to the majors. It wasn't like you need to, you know, make any changes to be major league ready. I think the same thing with Grayson Rodriguez. Like all the stuff is there.
I mean, he throws strikes.
His stuff is ridiculous. It's just a matter of pitch count, I think, with Grayson.
Yeah, I think there's a discussion every single week of do we do another start in Norfolk or do we go to Baltimore? And right. I think they wanted that past 90, so they said, yeah, let's do one more. I think now that conversation gets a little tougher because, like you're saying, it's starting on the road.
But again, one could argue a shorter start, if he's fully healthy and if it was just a back cramp and he feels fine tomorrow, one could argue a lower pitch count, you know, might not be a bad thing before your first major league start. I don't know.
Yeah, is there still weird... let's see. Is there still... Blah, 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 blah. It looks like there still is weird things with going to play the Blue Jays. Do we know if Grayson has gotten his COVID shot?
Yeah, I assume.
Because without the COVID shot, we'd have to cross off. He cannot get that start in Toronto. Yeah.
No, I assume all Orioles have gotten it.
We'll find out next week or 2 weeks from now when they go to Toronto.
Yeah, it was all that news that the Yankees, none of the Yankees can play in Toronto. Oh, somehow all the Yankees got the COVID shot before they went to go play in Toronto.
Right.
Okay.
You're saying we're not going to have a game where, Ryan Mountcastle and Adley Rutschman and Trey Mancini can't play?
No, I'm going to say everyone would have the COVID shot or have the paperwork saying they did have the COVID shot.
Or everyone suddenly has medical exceptions. Yeah, you would think just being a major league ball player and being careful of what you put in your body would qualify as a medical exception.
I don't know. The other thing, Josh, I want to point out to you, speaking of Norfolk, I just want to throw this out there because I haven't heard anyone talk about it, and I know he's your boy, but Richie Martin is quietly having a really nice season at Norfolk. He's now batting, and this is not including today. I have to look what he did today. But not including today, batting .281, on base percentage of .366, OPS of over 800 at this point.
Yeah.
He's played in 34 games.
Mm-hmm.
And already has 38 hits, so has more hits than games played. He's playing really well today. He's 1-for-3 with a walk. So again, getting on base, his batting average up to .283 currently. So he feels like a really good option, Josh, at shortstop or second base, wherever you need Richie Martin.
Like where you get rid of Chris Owens and bring in Richie Martin.
Yeah, it feels like that makes sense to me. I mean, Richie Martin's not a kid anymore. It's been several years since he kind of was the Rule 5 guy for us. But you got to go all the way back to 2019. That was 3 years ago. So
no, I don't.
I would like to see.
Right. What are you saving him for?
Yeah, you have no reason to save him. Like, this is one shot. I would like to see him. I hope before even June's out, I hope we get to see Richie Martin play every day. That was kind of like Cody Sedlak, too. He got the pitch. It was nice to see Cody Sedlak, who's had a long journey. A lot of ups and downs in the minors. It's good to see those guys make to the majors. I feel a little bit the same way with Richie Martin, where he made to the majors, struggled, sent down, just hasn't really been able to get an extended look at the majors again. And I hope he does. I like Richie Martin.
I find it, yeah, I agree. Speaking of shortstop, second baseman guys, I find it so weird now that I'm suddenly excited for Odor. That Odor is like playing well this past week.
Yeah, I mean, Odor, more than I think anyone that I can remember, went from heel to hero, right? Like, he was at the beginning of the season, we're like, why is this dude even on our
team? Beginning of the season 2 weeks ago.
He's just taking up a roster spot. Yeah, and then he had the couple walk-offs. He had the big walk-off home run that I was at in that 13-inning game. And then another home run today, and he just has, you know, some blasts out there over the wall into Utah Street. And yeah, he seems to be just a really clutch player, a great locker room guy. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Odor as well. I get mad when he's not in the lineup.
Which is weird because it's definitely a guy we wanted cut.
Yeah. I mean, even you look at the numbers, like his numbers aren't great this year, batting 224. But then if you look at the RBI numbers, 25 RBI, that's a lot of RBI. It's more RBIs than, you know, Ryan Mountcastle or Jay Mancini, like 25 RBIs, right, because he seems to be a really kind of clutch guy compared to like a guy, Trey Mancini is 18 RBI, right? Odor sitting there with 25.
No, and when you're, but when you're going,
guy. Even though he only has 5 home runs, it feels like he has 10 home runs.
He's got them all in the past week.
Yeah. Yeah, and in big moments when we need them. He's not doing, like, cleanup duty. Let me hit a home run when it's 9-0. No, he gets home runs in big spots.
No, and this lineup, across the board, you're pretty confident with this lineup. I know Mullins has been struggling. He got a hit today. But, like, Mancini's batting 304. Hayes is at 301. Mountcastle's at 264. These guys, like, they're hitting the ball. Tonight, I mentioned earlier about the wall blocking Mancini's home run and turning into a double. And then Mountcastle and Urias both clear the wall for home runs, back-to-back home runs. This team, everyone can hit the ball. And it's exciting to see them put runs up. That's why I'm excited about the month of June, because I look over the schedule, and besides a week with the Blue Jays in Toronto, everyone else on this team is like, no problem. We got this. We're going to win series. And right now, what's our record? I know. I get that we're in last place. I get that our record is about the same that it was last year.
No, it's better than last year.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, Josh. Yes, it is.
No, it's not. At the exact same moment last year, we were 21-30. And then we went on like a 15-game losing streak.
We were 21-30 at this point last year.
Yes. Yes, we were.
I bet our run differential was better.
Oh, I guarantee it was. And we then lost like 10 runs. We lost 10 games in a row right after it. This team's not losing 10 games in a row at any point in this season. This team was blown out constantly last year. By this time last year, I was tired of this team. I am not tired. I'm more excited than ever about this team right now. The record does not show you what this team does if you've been watching this game. The record shows you, okay, they've lost a bunch of games. Yeah. The record does not show you that they've been in 28 of those 30 games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the big difference is our bullpen through, you know, Elias Magic has turned to one of the best bullpens in the American League. And then, you know, starting pitching has somehow, you know, done the job. And then you add, you know, Rutschman and Odor to the offense. And you mentioned Urias. For me, that's a guy who, at the beginning of the season, I mean, I said I think he's going to be one of the best, you know, middle infielders in baseball this year. I was just so pumped about his year last year. And then he just seemed to take a huge step back at the beginning of the year. But then lately, the past, you know, 2 weeks, he's been on fire, just crushing the ball. So it's fun to see him get another home run tonight. Concerning thing about the lineup,
Stats were wrong. I believed the people on the internet. I forgot that everyone on the internet is haters.
Yeah, I knew they had a better record this year.
On June 1st, 2021, the Orioles were 18-37.
Okay, yeah.
Now percentage wise, they were 327, which is way lower. You do have to remember that there were more games played as well, which meant more losses. On June 1st,
okay,
we
but
started
the
season less. The winning percentage is much higher now. We got a 412 winning percentage versus a 327.
Yes,
I'm sorry, because I believe the Orioles haters over on Facebook.
Yeah, because we're a lot better than we were last year. Yeah, and the record shows absolutely. The only concerning thing about the offense, Josh, is and if you look at kind of weirdly, you look at the Orioles stats and you look at OPS and amongst the regular players, Mullins has the lowest OPS of anybody at 662.
Yes.
I mean, that's lower than Urias, lower than Odor. I guess it's not lower than the catcher, Chernos, and it's higher than Mateo. But everyone else, it's lower than. He's batting 238. Like, the struggles of, after having such a great year last year, he's still batting lead off for us every day.
Yeah.
But the struggles of Cedric Mullins are becoming a little bit harder to ignore each and every game that he struggles.
Right, but you still need him out there defensively.
I guess. I mean, I guess. I think I can make an argument if you add in Austin Hayes' arm that Austin Hayes could play just as well at center field as Cedric Mullins. I can make that argument, I think.
You're right. I hear what you're saying. You put him out there. Well, if you do that, then it gets really interesting to see what Kyle Stowers is doing down in Norfolk.
Yeah. Yeah. He's batting 250.
With 10 home runs.
With Kyle Stowers. A lot of people talk about minor leaguers. The Oriole fan base have become obsessed with prospects, and with good reason, because that's been the focus of the organization. But also, prospects, by their definition, are guys you project to do well, right? Yeah, not guys that necessarily will do well in the majors,
right? But remember, Mullins. Remember, all season last year, we did not trust Mullins until we finally gave in after like the All-Star break and say, "All right, he's good." And we even talked preseason that we need Mullins to still prove to us that he's good.
Right. Yeah. And listen, Stowers might work out and might be great. He might not. Some prospects will work out and some won't. And I think I see some people pencil in like a 2024 lineup, assuming every prospect turns into a superstar. And that's just not how it works. Like maybe Kobe Mayo will turn out to be a really good player, and maybe he won't. Maybe he'll never make it past double A. This is kind of the nature of things, where one out of every so many hit. That's why you need a bunch of good prospects to hope just a small percentage of them hit. And so maybe Kyle Stowers, but people are already penciling in Kyle Stowers once you trade Santander or something. I'm sorry, right now Stowers, if he takes Santander's place, that's a huge downgrade. And maybe Stowers will get to the point where he's as good as Santander, but he's not right now, and for the near future, that would be a big downgrade. And I don't think people want to really wrestle with that or admit that. Hey, Josh, this, you mentioned Chris Owens. I was joking with Silas. He has a little. He has, you got him that action. You got them that baseball field with little baseball action figures.
Yeah, it's like Army Men, but it's baseball players.
Yeah, he plays with a lot, but he has one guy. Yeah, he does. He has one guy, number 11, who won't stay up. And so I was joking with him that, he's the worst player in your team. Right. Just like number 11 on the Orioles is the worst player, Chris Owens. And so now, we just have a good laugh about Chris Owens being the worst. But then he asked me, Josh, I didn't know how to answer this. He asked me, who's the best player in the Orioles? Josh, if you were to be asked who is the best player on the Orioles right now, acknowledging that Chris Owens is the worst.
So we're taking Adley out as he's the future best, but he's not the current best.
Not future projections, who you think would be the best, the best careers. All right,
most exciting player on the Orioles right now.
Not the most exciting, right now, who is the best baseball player on the team?
I'm going with Austin Hayes.
Okay.
I'm going with Austin Hayes. He's shown the glove, he's shown the leather, he's flashed that, he's hitting really well. He's batting over 300, and he clears the fence. He hits the long ball. We've seen him wearing the home run chain many times. I'm going with Austin Hayes.
Great defensively. Yep.
He's healthy. I feel like knocking on everything, but for right now, Austin Hayes is healthy, and I'm loving watching Austin Hayes.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you that this year so far, he's been the best. This is true, right? He's been the best player on the team. Yeah, I don't know if we can get some bullpen arms or whatever. But, I think that's true. I think Austin Hayes has been the best player on the team.
Yeah, exactly. There's some bullpen arms that are completely dominant that I trust no matter what. But I can't give best player to a guy that pitches 3 innings a week.
Yeah. And if you were to say last year, I would say obviously Cedric Mullins was our best player last year. Over the course of the past 3 or 4 years, then you go, okay, well, Trey Mancini has been the most consistent player for us, so maybe he's the best player.
Yeah, but don't get him attached to Trey. Trey's gone.
Trey's staying, Josh. I just want you to prepare yourself. Trey's not going anywhere. He's too important to this team.
We're
going to
have some good podcasts over All-Star break talking about whether Trey's there or not. I see that.
Yeah. But, okay, so I should tell him. But, I mean, Austin Hayes is him being the best player for 2 months, does that make him the best player in the Orioles? I don't know. I'm not convinced. I still think Trey Mancini is the answer. Or Ryan Mountcastle. I don't know. John Means if he's healthy. I don't know.
I'm not going. I would not go with Trey Mancini. I'm going with Austin Hayes.
Okay.
Sticking with
that. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot about your hatred towards.
I don't hate Trey Mancini. I'm just not going to get attached to the guy. We're trading him.
Okay.
Why do you think he's speaking so out so much about hating the wall? Because he wants out of here.
Yeah, this is that's going to be awkward when...
This is typical wide receiver talk we're seeing from Trey Mancini.
Okay. He's demanding a trade later. It's weird, though, that he would be signing an extension soon if he's also talking all that smack.
He just got a home run into the bullpen. So he just had to take the ball a little bit further over.
That should have been his second home run if it wasn't for Mike Elias.
Right. So.
All right. So, Josh, 9-2 now. We call this a win. But now this is the fourth straight game, right, where it's been an extreme score one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
Where now the Orioles are dominating, right? It went from, it was.
From a 0-10 loss yesterday to now they're up 9-2. Because the bats 12-2,
we lose, then we win 10-0, then we lose 10-0.
But it's like,
and then
10-0,
we're winning 9-2.
10-0 all starts with that big number. The fact that Brian Baker put them in the hole to start kind of sends everyone out there. We've all been in this situation. When you're down, you're already depressed. If your pitcher's dominating, the bats feel loose. Everyone's having fun. You feel like just hit the ball. You don't feel like you got to crush it. When you're down, everyone feels like they got to be try to hit home runs. They got to be the savior.
Yeah.
So,
well, and not just that. I mean, your second guy.
You're pressing yourself.
Was Zach Lowther, who, again, struggled in AAA, and he came in and then gave a bunch of runs, pitched for 100 pitches, so good for him for staying the game while. But this was also a game, Josh, today where it felt like this is a game that you could lose, and then you might lose a series. Or you will lose a series if you lose a game because, former Cy Young Robbie Ray was pitching.
Right.
Who, wears his pants too tight and his shirt too tight. And sometimes I think it messes with his thinking because his clothes are so tight. But I went back and someone shared on Twitter, this is, I think, my favorite Manager Hyde moment, even better than fighting Chris Davis, is when he's shouting at Robbie Ray to pitch the ball.
Just pitch the ball.
And like, and just pitched the ball, threw a couple F-bombs in there, says, what you looking at? And so that's a great, I think it shows a lot by Hyde just kind of being a tough guy. We hear him as a player's coach, but also willing to get in the face of the opponent, which I appreciate. But this is a game, Josh, where you thought, okay, you're throwing out Bradish. He really struggled his last start against one of the best, most established pitchers in all of baseball in Robbie Ray, and yet you're able to kind of win this game. I assume we're going to win this game. It's kind of a big deal. And then you go tomorrow where you got Lyles versus Flexen. That's a winnable game. And then you're feeling good going into the Guardians series.
The Guardians. I'm glad you brought up the Guardians because if I said I would have totally said the Indians are coming to town. So, no, you feel great. You feel great about this team. And it's exciting to – I was so happy with 4-4 on that road trip. To come back to Baltimore and now get into June, it's just fun.
Yeah. Well, and you hear it from managers too, right? Like Alex Cora was quoted as saying, comparing it to the Houston Astros and how they started out. You just get quotes, you heard it in the Tampa Bay Rays series with Kevin Kiermaier saying this is an up-and-coming team.
Yeah.
People are noticing we're no longer – I mean, Buster Olney hasn't gotten the memo yet, but people are noticing that we're no longer kind of the laughing stock of the AL East, that we're actually, even if we're not, fighting for a pennant at this point, we're competitive and we're playing, with these teams. And listen, the Yankees are the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah.
And we played them a bunch at the beginning of the season.
No. And the Red Sox
and
were
now
hot.
We have a little right, and the Red Sox are really hot. And so I think we had a really rough, hard, I mean just look at the winning percentages, a hard opening start of the season. And I said it before the season even started that June's going to be a big month, and I'm excited to see what June brings.
And it's more than
because
June.
At the end of June, the Orioles either will be sitting pretty, just a few games out of 500, or they'll be where they are now. And for me, that would be a disappointment. I hope they're closer to 500 at the end of June, and kind of building some momentum and making us kind of feel good about the direction of this baseball team. And of course, a lot of this will have to also do with the unknown, like we talked about, Grayson Rodriguez. It's a big deal, right? Because we need another starting pitcher. We do. We need another good starting pitcher. Grayson Rodriguez is that guy. There's no other plan B. I guess Dean Kramer now is starting to pitch rehab starts, and he looks really good. But really, Grayson's that guy that you need as that next starter. And if we get that in June, it's gonna be pretty, Josh. It's gonna be pretty.
Do you know how many more games we have against the Yankees this year?
I would say six, maybe.
Yeah, we have six. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at this schedule. I mean, I look at this schedule all the time. And right. I didn't get to it today, but I was going to write down wins and losses. Because this team is, we mentioned, in the 400s. This team could be 500 by the end of the season. I'm not scared of that. I think this team could actually be 500. They're not going to go for the pennant. They probably won't get into playoffs with 500. But talk about competitive baseball being back.
Yeah.
That's a huge improvement and something to build on for next year.
You're going a little further than I'm willing to go. But, I mean, because if you're at 500, I think you're definitely in the wild card chase. But I'm just really curious to see. Because the other part is
right now, right now, 500 in the AL East would be fourth place.
Right. And where would that put you in the wild card? Probably just a few games out of the wild card.
I mean, yeah, probably three games out. We don't have expanded right now. Right? This year is an expanded playoffs. Is an expanded playoffs next year?
No, it's expanded this year.
Okay. All right, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look at what that is. But, I mean, you're going to be fourth place in the AL East. Again, in the toughest division.
You have the division winners and three other teams are going to be playoff. You have three wild cards. Not two this year.
There's three wild cards this year?
There's three, yeah.
Yeah, but if you were in fourth place, that would mean all three would have to come out of the AL East.
Right.
Which is...
But I'm saying if you were 500 right now, you'd be two games out of the wild card right now if you're 500.
Correct. Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying the Orioles are going to be around 500 by the end of the season.
Okay. I have no idea. But, yeah, I mean...
I'm not going playoffs.
I need to know some things first. I need to know, is Grayson Rodriguez back?
Yes. That's assuming Grayson pitching against the Cubs next week.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's... But Josh, just a few weeks ago, we were all high on the Orioles.
No,
and then they got swept by a bad Detroit Tigers team.
Well, that's what I was going to say. 2 weeks ago, you were super high on the Orioles, and I was shooting you down.
Yeah. Now I feel like we switched spots.
Now we flipped spots. And that's because this team is so much fun to watch this year and because they're in to end every single game.
Yep. And we've seen them play tough competition and play the tough competition well. Now we'll get an extended look at them playing competition that's on their level or even below their level. Like Kansas City, the Cubs have worse records. I mean, when was the last time we played back-to-back teams where both the teams had worse records than the Orioles? I think it's been a while where we played two series and the two teams we were playing had worse records than the Orioles. But that's true when we go to play Chicago and then Kansas City. At least it's true right now if you played them.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, Cleveland's like got one more win than us.
Right, but Seattle, Cleveland, Chicago, Kansas City, our next, one, two, three, four opponents all have records under 500.
Yeah, all exactly. That hasn't happened in a long this year, definitely not.
Right, and so I'm curious to see what this team does. I'm curious to see if this team rises above their competition or if they kind of, stoop to the level of the competition. I'm just curious to see how this month of June works out. I think it'll say a lot about the team. Where we're sitting kind of on July 1st, if we had a really good month or if we kind of just stayed where we were, will kind of determine, I think, the rest of the year.
And I guess
maybe even make for some interesting decisions for Mike Elias come July.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I guess if things go as well this June as you and I are predicting, that makes it a lot harder to trade Trey Mancini. So maybe we have to keep Trey.
Josh changing his tune already.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Maybe we'd have to reconsider that if things go well in June.
All right, Josh.
We're leaning towards Mike Elias needs to trade someone to, well, actually, maybe not trade anyone at all if we're playing well.
what, Josh, if we're playing well, it's going to be really interesting what Michael Elias does, because if we're playing well, what that also means is that a lot of players are having good seasons.
Yes.
Michael Elias could trade about four bullpen arms right now if he wanted to. Like, there's right. about four bullpen arms
yeah.
that other teams would want. And when it comes to July, I'm curious what's going to happen when a contending team picks up the call and says, we like Jorge Lopez yeah. or we like Felix Bautista,
right.
and we're willing to give you these two stud prospects. What you going to do, Mike? I'm curious to see what happens there.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of the hate if he trades some studs while we're winning baseball.
Because on the one hand, you could say, yeah, a lot of hate. On the other hand, Mike Elias got these players, you know, from nowhere. Like, he just found these guys, did some little Orioles magic. You got a feeling like maybe he could do this again with the bullpen arms, right? Like, maybe he can do this with the bullpen arms. So maybe trading a Bautista or Lopez, those players could be replaced within the system with a Nick Vespi, right, who we already saw. So maybe... I it's going to be interesting. I think Mike's going to have some interesting decisions to make if these players continue to play well.
Agreed.
About what to do.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because not only are they playing well, they're quickly becoming like fan favorites because they're a fun team to watch. I know there's only like 9,000 people at the game tonight.
Yeah. Miserable attendance the past two nights.
I get that.
I got tickets for tomorrow. It's supposed to rain all day.
Oh, great. I don't know how the weather's been. But... June, this team should start to be fun. Get kids out of school. Make sure Baltimore's safe. Do all that stuff. Get rid of everyone's excuses.
There was just a bunch of people shot in the harbor this week, too.
No, there wasn't. Was it really?
Yes.
Oh. That happened. Cue the, I don't go to stadiums because it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Post.
But, like, what happens when that is no longer a thing? And it's actually kind of true, though. Like, it's, I feel like every week that's becoming a little more true, like, in the city.
I think
like literally dangerous.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think if there's a shooting outside the stadium, then you've got major issues. Yeah. And I don't know how the Orioles can handle that because they're just a business in the city.
Right.
How do you get the city of Baltimore to step up and be like, guys, you're affecting our attendance. You're affecting everything. Even though we're on the outskirts, we're on the edge of the city and you're starting to bleed into there. I don't think there's anything the team can do politically to manage that, and that's very interesting.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, Josh, it's getting worse in Baltimore, and there's more and more people who do not feel comfortable. And I'm not at that point yet where I don't feel comfortable driving to Camden Yards. But I don't know.
You know people who are.
I know people are, and I'm not. I might not be that far off either.
Especially if you're trying to take little kids into town.
Yeah,
I get it. I've never been that type of guy. I also don't have good perception of that, where I've gone into dangerous situations because I just don't pay attention to that they're dangerous.
Right.
And I think you have that habit as well. But when it's on the news constantly, we've seen how news affects people's lifestyles. And if you're going to constantly see news about Baltimore being a dangerous city, it's totally going to affect attendance at the Orioles.
Oh, absolutely will. Absolutely will. But I think what overcomes that is also winning baseball.
Winning baseball.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Winning baseball does everyone good.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm curious. I think it's always fun to watch, too, and interesting to watch is if we do have a good month of June, how will that affect attendance? Because our next, you know, couple weeks is at home. Then we go away to Kansas City, Toronto. Then come back home if there's, you know, if we see an uptick in attendance in July, if we're playing well, is another thing I think to watch. But
do you think
I don't expect attendance to really change until this organization changes and start investing in this team financially. Then I think maybe we'll see more attendance.
Do you think the Orioles do a better job announcing Grayson Rodriguez's first start with the Orioles? Or do you think they like weren't bothered by the PR and talk with how Adley from a PR perspective was screwed up?
Well, you would think, I don't know.
They don't care.
Clearly they don't care, but
because Adley, we know, or with Grayson, we know there's 5-6 days in between.
Right.
You could easily say, hey, next step Baltimore, and you could do a whole run on it.
Right. I don't know if there's an advantage though, Josh, to not telling the other team, right? Like, so they can't spend, I don't know how much time they spend studying Grayson Rodriguez's tape to begin with. But is there any advantage to announcing the day of? Is like, does that give him a competitive advantage to not let the other team know that he's coming? I don't know, because clearly, yeah, like clearly after the start, they'll know days in advance if Grayson will be with the Orioles. It's not like Adley, where it felt a little bit like they're waiting for him to start three straight games. Okay, he did. Then he had an off game. Okay, now, and now he's feeling okay. Now we call him up. With Grayson, like, they'll know, I feel like, right away. Okay, next start in Baltimore.
Exactly.
That's but how do I they feel. Choose to announce it? I don't know. I don't think they care. So
and when do they tell him? Do they give him plenty of heads up, or do they wait until last minute to tell him to make sure it doesn't leak?
Right, which they did with Adley. They told him right last minute.
Yep.
After the day off, and so I would imagine. Yeah, because they're not going to add him to. They're not going to add because he has to be added to the 40 man. So correct. A technical thing here. They will not add him to the 40 man or bring him up until the day of his start.
Yes.
Because they won't have him take up a roster spot for another pitcher when he's not pitching. So he's only going to be called up the day of his start. He won't be called up before that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll announce it before it then. I don't know.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I doubt we'll know ahead of time.
Yeah. That's
only indication, maybe projected starters, because you can look on MILB and see the projected starter. I don't know if they'll change that.
But you would think they leave him as projected because they don't want to hint. If you and I can read the tea leaves, they don't want the Blue Jays to read the tea leaves.
Yeah. True.
But I don't know. Batista's in the game now. I think we give a lot. It's already in over an hour. I know we can drag this on. We can talk about Batista next week. I want to talk about some of these bullpen arms next week maybe.
Yeah, let's do a good half hour on these different bullpen arms because they all have their own kind of unique journeys to the majors and to the Orioles.
And that's what I want to talk about because we highlight the Kevin Gausman, the Jake Arrieta, the guys who leave Baltimore and succeed and have these amazing careers. We don't talk about guys like Felix Batista who got dumped by other teams and we picked him up and now he's succeeding.
Similar story with Lopez. A lot of these guys have those similar stories where we just picked them up. And also, I think when we do this podcast on Monday, I think Nick Vespi will be back here because I think he has to stay in the minors till Sunday based on when it was brought up. So I bet he's back here. We talk about him too. But
we'll try to do that next week.
Also, I don't know CNL Perez's story. So I'll look that up. I don't even know where CNL Perez comes from. I never heard of CNL Perez before this season. I don't know where he played before this. So I'll do some research and find out. We'll do some stuff on these bullpen.
Let's be honest. Half the guys in our bullpen you didn't know about until this season.
Yeah, it's true. Batista, I didn't know about. Perez, I didn't know about. Obviously, I knew about Lopez. I didn't know about Baker. It'd be interesting to look at these guys.
Yeah, let's talk about that next week. Let me see. I don't know. I'm just Googling real quick where Perez came from.
Well, I thought we were going to do this next week.
All right, let's do it next week. Houston dumped him, and then Cincinnati dumped him.
Okay. Just a couple people dumped him, and we picked him up, and now he's a stud.
Yeah.
Interesting how that works.
Exactly. It's nice to see things go in our favor once in a while. But, yeah, I know it's already been an hour. We should save this for next week because you're right. It will take 30 minutes going through this bullpen arm.
Yeah. Hopefully they're still pitching well.
I hope so.
I mean, the only concern I have about the bullpen, Josh, is the starting pitching needs to not have the bullpen throw six innings every game. Can the starters get to the fifth and sixth? Even Bradish today, 4 2/3.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's exactly.
I'm sorry. We're wrapping up. I'm good to wrap up.
I know. Let's talk about focus on pitching and stuff next week. I also want to talk about how this team is fun. The home run chain, Brandon Hyde, Barkin. And you saw the kangaroo courts back?
I didn't see that.
Huh? From the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Frank Robinson and the kangaroo court.
Yeah, well, apparently there's a new kangaroo court in the clubhouse. I tried to read the article about it on The Sun this week, but you got to pay, and I ain't paying The Sun to read their website.
You got something against The Sun? You don't support local newspapers?
I got something about paying The Sun to read their website, yes. But the kangaroo court's back. The Orioles are having fun. I think fun also helps with like keeping them loose in the dugout and all. So I want to talk about that a little next week too.
Nah.
I like that we're setting up next week's show like we do a daily show. Tomorrow on the show.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen. We're also going to talk about what the Orioles do after playing weaker competition this week.
Well, I think our next show, Monday, will be an off day too for the Orioles, right? I think next Monday is an off day for the Orioles. I know you look at that calendar more than I do. But
yeah. June 6th is an off day. So that'll be good. Kind of let's see what we can recap Seattle, recap the Guardians.
Yep.
And I think we're all good. Birdland tonight has been awful lot lately because lots of things are going on down here. But that's probably going to be back in the next week or two as well. Right? So, because my life gets to settle down after this weekend.
Yeah. And I'm done school in a couple of weeks, so I could help you with Birdland stuff too. In a couple weeks.
So right when the Orioles are getting hot, we're going to be bringing Birdland tonight back. She's going over there. Because, you know what? And I'll talk. You know what? I got something else we'll talk about next week.
Here we go. All right, we'll just do the whole show this week, record it now, and then we'll release it next week.
Well, no, we can't do this part because, see, you talked with the whole moving update last week. Next week, I'll talk about the fact that I'm getting married on Saturday.
Okay.
But this weekend is also, I get a chance to use this clip. I'm
there
not
moving
a man, though. So. But
Josh will be making love to his man this weekend.
I'm
going to
get married on Saturday. That's going to settle a lot of things down here and allow me more flexibility for Birdland tonight because I'm not packing up and moving her and all that type of stuff. So all that's coming back. But so, yeah, I'll give an update on that next week too. But in the meanwhile, you should head on over to section336.com, click on the top, and support us either through Patreon or just send us some cash through PayPal. Or Venmo,
absolutely.
Whatever you want to do. Help out.
Whatever you want to do.
Help us
show
out.
Yep. You can also follow the show on all your social media platforms. You can follow me on Twitter at Section336. You can also follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Soroka. I'd love to see a new review pop up this weekend over on iTunes.
There you go.
That helps a lot. And then continue the 5 stars over on Spotify.
All right. Thanks for listening, boys and girls. As always, go O's.